Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 405 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How you going, fellas?
Mate.
Oh, mate.
Still Groundhog Day.
Yeah, no, not really.
It's Groundhog Day for me. I'm running out of superlatives.
I don't know. I'm just waiting for the first grade.
Yeah. Look, there's only one way this is ever going to go, right? I mean, we knew.
Yeah,
we knew.
Exactly.
We knew what your time would be.
If you knew, you knew.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we knew it was going to be like, you know, like the Tigers didn't win. I mean, they were like they were just there. It was the Panthers. You know, they did everything. They didn't.
No. It wasn't the same as the grand final last year.
Yeah.
It wasn't that the opposition had no bearing on the outcome of the game at all. It was just purely based on parent. That wasn't it at all. But we'll get to that in the game review.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, this is a recap episode, so I mean, it's just really just recaps to sort out. But I did think, just to be in the interest of being timely, I do think we should pay homage to the great man BMOZ, who's been one of our favourites, and today announced his immediate retirement from rugby league. Mm. Obviously, he wasn't going to be back this year anyway.
Yeah,
but
fuck.
There were hopes of, you know, initially back when he did the injury, when he did his ACL in May, that, you know, maybe he might, you know, because he could be back for next season if that was, you know, but it was a matter of, you know, would he, you know, can turn around and come back for another season. Mm. Today, the mystery has been solved. He is retired. And look, I just want to say the deeds of BMOZ in 2014 in games 1 and 2 of the State of Origin series are fucking up there with the greatest deeds that man has ever achieved. And I'm not talking about rugby league fields. I mean, rugby league is such a small fucking part. It's a small sport in a corner of the world, two corners of the world, let's be generous. Doesn't affect a great deal of the humanity, but BMOZ's deeds in 2014 State of Origin, they go down with, you know, the discovery of, you know, harnessing of electricity, man setting foot on the moon. And so I'd just like to say massive respect to BMOZ. What a great career. I think he played for some NRL clubs, but I forget who at the moment. But your job for New South Wales from 2010 to 2017, but specifically games 1 and 2 of the 2014 season, will never be forgotten. Maximum respect. And we wish you well in your retirement.
BMOZ is essentially the anti-bat-eating cunt. For as much shame and depression as that bat-eating cunt has unleashed on the world, BMOZ leaked the exact equal yet opposite amount of joy into the world.
Agreed.
So he was a one-man anti-Rona.
Exactly. And, you know, coincidentally, you know, he's announced his retirement. And when asked about what his plans were going forward, I believe he was going to be donating, you know, specimens of blood and or his mighty necklace seed in aids of making a vaccine that doesn't cause blood clots and has an efficacy rate of greater than 60%.
Oh, God.
He's achieved everything there is to achieve in the game, and I think the greatest thing you can say about him is that he went about it. There's not a fan, regardless of what team anybody supports, or where their state allegiances lie. There's no one that's ever said a bad word about the bloke. He's held in such high regard throughout the game, and it's a testament to the type of person he is, and not just the player that he was.
Like, I love the guy to a level that, you know, that is pretty much usually reserved only for players that play for the Mighty Manly Seagulls. I mean, sure, I might have said something about him not having a neck before, but I mean, that's not a bad word. I mean, that's just like that. That's more.
That's
more
just
highlighting
what you the physical do, deficiencies. Nathan.
Well, that's it's just more highlighting the physical, you know, disabilities or handbrakes he had, and yet he still achieved the status of the greatest winger the game has ever seen.
Mm. Yeah,
and he was you know, was he the most athletic winger of all time? No, he wasn't. Was he the most spectacular put down? No, he wasn't. Although he does have a fucking highlight reel of some spectacular fucking aerial, you know, catches and put downs and things like that. I mean, the way he bent the fucking laws of physics in the 2010 Grand Finals, where he actually stepped out over the sideline to score that try, but and it was still awarded a try despite the fact he stepped over the sideline. I mean, that was just fucking magnificent. I mean, he either bent the laws of time and space, or he certainly bent the laws of reality, because referee certainly didn't see anything.
Just from me watching this fucking salt, BMOZ has now overtaken Rona with how much joy he has pumped into the world.
Oh, and there's no salt either, because I mean,
because I'm glad
he sunk the fucking Roosters. Who gives a shit? And then he made up for it and fucking won a comp with him, you know, 9 years down the track.
And in terms of what he's done inspiring people, I sit across a computer screen now from a man who is wearing a hoodie as a turtleneck, who understands that he can, because BMOZ did.
Mate, I can tell you there is definitely a neck in there somewhere, because I had a little bit of a fucking incident yesterday.
Looks like there might be a couple of them.
No, there's a couple of chins, just one neck. But I fucked myself up yesterday, and I have fucking some serious pain in my neck and a headache that will not go away. So
you tried to suck yourself again, didn't you?
No. No, I fucking do that quite easily.
Marilyn Manson had to remove fucking four ribs for that to happen.
If it's one thing
I've
mastered...
Did someone let you watch the Tigers game by yourself?
It's not even as interesting as that, but fuck me. There is definitely a neck in there somewhere, although I do keep it quite well hidden.
Is there a proper story? Is there a story
to
this? Or is
yeah,
it just,
I fucking... Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It hurts, but I still have to dance to it.
I'll keep it going. You tell your story.
I can't concentrate. It makes me want to dance and get my glow stick. So I was mowing the lawn, and I was going up the side fence at a rapid rate of knots. And I was going under it.
Oh, so let's be clear. Right on mowing, right, you weren't mowing the lawn. Yeah. You were driving your fucking quad bike around that's got blades on the bottom of it.
Yeah, I was on the ride on. And I was going up the side fence, and there's a couple of trees out the front. And I was in a bit of a rush to get it done, because I was like, fuck me, I'm tired. I need to finish this. I've been going for 6 hours. And I was full pace, and I've... Lent.
What's full pace?
Oh,
just so we know.
I don't know what the speed is, but I'm fucking, you know.
40?
No, I don't know if they'd be that quick. 20, maybe?
Okay. 20's very slow.
Hang on.
Okay.
20's what you go for a speed bump at.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
had a kid bounce off the front of my car at 20 fucking couple of months ago, and he wasn't hurt at all. 20's not fast.
Maybe it is quicker than that then. Anyway, yeah. Story goes.
It wasn't a
I was
kid,
going,
it was a Jacob.
I was going under a tree branch, and I leant down to go under it and succeeded only in not leaning down far enough and just careened my fucking point of my head straight into the fucking tree branch, and I pulled the entire mower up with my head on the tree branch. It's quite spectacular.
Do you have security, like ring cameras or something at your house?
Do
you have any space in the back?
Not up that side, no.
Oh, fuck, I would love to see that. Yeah, that would be hilarious.
It would be fucking funny. Anyway,
so
almost knocked myself out.
What happened? Like, did somebody play a prank on you and plant a brand new fully grown tree in your yard overnight?
I've done
so
exactly
you had no
that.
Idea that it was there?
100 times.
Is it that big tree on the left as you're looking out the, you know, from the back door? Or like, as you're looking from the back of your house towards the back fence, is that one on the left?
No, out the front. to the left of the garage. So yeah, straight into her. Like saw stars. Like fucking was borderline knocked myself out. Almost had to go for a HIA. Quality.
Are you right? Are you right? Are you even right to do the show? You might need a week off.
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm fucking, geez, I'm living on Panadol though. It's good times.
Panadol, oh, you're hitting the hard stuff, eh?
Yeah, well, I can't take Nurofen because it fucks with my gut.
Slow down. Just so everybody knows.
Just so everybody knows, Glenn made the inverted commas hand signal when he said Panadol.
And he tapped his nose.
And he also lives in Toowoomba. That means
I don't know what that means.
now he's tapping the the point there where your elbow bends, like between his forearm and bicep. I don't know what that means.
And not in a groovy millennial TikTok hook it into my veins meme way.
No, it's
like a literally
insert needle here, mate.
All right, let's talk about these games, motherfuckers. There's only four games to get through this weekend, so short round, of course.
Oh, hang on. What? See, look what I've just pulled out.
What is it? Just down a bit lower? Oh, BMOS footy card.
Oh, how serendipitous.
So are you just opening that pack like right now, or are you just...
No, the boy opened a bunch before he went to bed.
Right.
You're categorising them. Pulled the I'm tired, so I'm left putting them in the folder.
Right. Okay. So round 13, the first game on Thursday night was the St. George Illawarra Dragons 52 defeating the Brisbane Broncos 24. The Dragons, tries to Jack Bird, Braden William, Ben Hunt, Jared Beal, Cody Ramsey, Josh Kerr, Mikhaili Ravalawa, and a double to Matthew Dufty. Bird with the conversion, Smooth Corey with 7 of 8. Broncos 24 came through, tries to David Mead, Jesse Arthurs, a double to TC Rabadi. Osaka, 3 conversions, Tyson Gamble with the 1. Glenn.
I keep banging on about Dufty, but he continues to impress everyone except Griffin and whoever else is making decisions at the Dragons at the moment. 2 tries and 5 try involvements. Not really sure what more the bloke has to do. Saw a couple of...
Defend, I think. I think the answer is defend.
That's the knock on him.
Yeah.
While Kalen Ponga pulls $1 million a season, plus...
Yep.
And is he, how many games is he having? He's had one in recent memory where he scored a couple mm-hmm. of tries and was as involved as that. So...
Yeah.
Yeah,
look, I agree with you on that point.
I don't think he's going to be without a job, but he's going to be arseholed out of the Dragons. Hard to believe the Broncos led 18-12 in the first half and then 2 quick tries for the Dragons to close out the half, set them on their way, and they just ran on with it in the second half. They the Broncos, again, just wilted when the going got tough and when the game was taken to them, they didn't have the answers for the Dragons when they turned it up and turned possession and field position into points. The Broncos had no answers. The only other point I wanted to make in regards to Jack DeBellin, got a big cheer from the crowd when he ran on.
Ugh.
Which when I said last week, it still doesn't sit well with me. And you can see there's polarised, it's polarised people, but there's generally people that are in the same boat as myself or somewhere thereabouts where it just doesn't really sit right. And the fact that he was found, he wasn't convicted is saw one of you guys post from the podcast Twitter account today saying it was a big difference between innocent and not convicted. Everyone's like, he's innocent, let him play. And I was sitting at the Campbelltown Catholic Club watching the Tigers game, and the table next to me, there was a guy sitting next, was sitting with a bunch of his mates, and he and an older bloke, and he said, "Oh, geez, it was good to see Jack DeBellin back last night. He has had such a hard time over these last couple of years, and I can't believe what everyone's done to him and the things people are saying, and you know, his life's just been trolled." I was like, "Fuck me, dead." I wanted to check his driver's license to see if he was indeed Mr. DeBellin, but you know, that's the other side of the of people's opinions of it, and it's. It's fucked.
And look, you know, at the end of the day, this is the situation is that yes, he wasn't found not guilty. I mean, the jury found on two occasions, you know, that they were unable to reach a verdict, but it's in the legal system that we live under that by virtue of him not being found guilty and therefore not seeing any jail time, or whatever, he has the ability to ply his trade in the National Rugby League. And, you know, we don't have to like it. It's going to happen whether we like it or not. He's going to stay there.
Mm.
It's just the way it is. And, but yeah, I mean, it's funny when you see there's a lot of Dragons fans out there. It doesn't sit right with them either.
Mm.
And, but then there's a lot of Dragons fans, but I mean, the ones that seem to be supporting him, they're all that sort of Twitter name format, you know, that first name, bunch of numbers,
yeah.
Fucking Twitter accounts that are like, you know.
DeBurners.
Look, and that's the thing. What I certainly hope people do is that it's really fucking easy to earn your social justice warrior points sitting back and looking at, well, hang on, I'm going to put out there that I don't think he should play and that I think what he did was horrendous and I think the Dragons are a shit club because they've let him come back. And what I encourage all of those people to do is have a good, long, hard fucking look at yourself and find out if you're really upset and trying to affect change at how the legal system handles rape, or if you're using it as a very heavily veiled way to take a swipe at another footy club. And if it's the former, good on you, but you need to understand a couple of things. That club is operating under the legal framework, like Nate said, of the country that we live in. What would you expect them to do? Now, let me preface this with, I'm with you, Glenn. DeBellin just doesn't sit right with me. You know, something in my gut says that.
And that's where it begins and ends with me, right?
Exactly.
I don't have a...
But what would you expect the club to do?
I don't think Dragons could play it any other way.
You weren't convicted. Exactly. You weren't convicted. But you know what? We still think you're a bit of a fucking scumbag. No. They'd get sued into fucking oblivion, right? So if you have that anger inside you at what's gone on, there are numerous groups out there campaigning on the back of this trial for reform in how the legal industry handles rape and sexual assault. So put some effort in there, go to those groups and find out how you can be involved and support. Yeah, because what's happened has happened, and he's going to play football.
Yeah, exactly.
So, interestingly, though, back to the game. Brisbane's faults, and fuck, there's some there. Resilience seems to have been a new one that's crept in. You know, they were always.
Over the last couple of years, though. I mean, it's been a hallmark of their Spooner era, is that they fold when they fold. They fucking fold.
Yeah, but this year,
completely and utterly.
This year, I hadn't seen that 2020 Broncos. Oh yeah, there's some points we're fucked.
Yeah, there has been a couple of times this year where in the season. The Manly game was one, you know, for sure.
But this one was definitely. Oh yeah, we're fucked.
Yeah, everything. And this the is body one language.
The
everything.
Kind of in.
And. Looking at it, has there ever been as many revenge games going on at one time?
Yeah.
Like someone's tweeted at the show. I can't remember if I put it in the group or not, but like they went through and listed all the ex-Broncos currently at the Dragons.
It was like the 2008 Holden Cup Broncos side revenge game, except they weren't playing for the Broncos anymore.
Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, no, there's
I'll tell you, Cody Ramsey, I mean, like, you know, they want to get fucking rid of Dufty. I mean, Cody Ramsey is just, is like a massively shitter version of Dufty. Mm. He's not safe under the high ball. He's fast and can run. I don't think he's got the playmaking ability and the passing.
Riddle me this. If Dufty was such a thing, why was no one talking about him before his contract was up? Why is it that the only reason that he's come to be spoken about in the volume that he has is because his contract up and he hasn't been re-signed? If he was in this form, attack-wise, 8 weeks before and he'd started contract negotiations, then people would rightly be saying, fuck, how can you not sign Dufty? Other clubs will be looking at him, yada, yada, yada.
I just think you look at him realistically and he can't fucking defend. But, I mean, is that actually an insurmountable problem?
But also, they've got Lomax.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not like they're short of people in that who can fill that position.
Yeah, but I mean, if your plan is to fuck off Dufty,
they've got Ramsey
and put Cody Ramsey in as a replacement. I mean, that's a backward step in every fucking metric, except for perhaps dollars.
Yes, that's it. Anyway, from Twitter, Devon Head. Here we are. It was him that did it. So I guess Hook, Gentle, Hunt, Bird, Macca, Beal, and Smooth Corey just won the revengiest revenge game that ever was. Hashtag One Nation under Griffin. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Cruzy said, thanks for the Mars bars. Can we have some more, please? Oof. @_appa_yip_yip44 said, I will never get tired of watching Ben Hunt kick the Broncos to death while Milford rots in reserve grade. P.S. Fuck Jack DeBellin.
You see, Milford has to have surgery too, so he's going to be out for about a month.
What are they trying to insert, a heart?
Into his knee.
Well, yeah, yes. Into his knee, yeah.
Mup on Twitter said, okay, Google, Shrek, Rule 34, dragon pegging donkey.
Jesus. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what that turned up.
Do you know what Rule 34 is, Glenn? No.
Shrek and dragon pegging donkey was enough for me.
No. No. Rule 34 is a rule that states, no matter what the subject is, somewhere on the internet, there is porn of it.
Right.
So when you go to your computer tonight and type in Counting Crows Rule 34, you will be treated to the saddest yet most erotic experience of your life.
Oh, love to say I was looking forward to it.
No doubt, no doubt you'd see, you know, there'd be something with Adam, like, you know, blowing the titular Mr. Jones.
Shoving his dreadlock down his pee hole.
Why do we always get here? Why? We go on some wonderful journeys, but we end up in the same fucking place all the time. Why is that?
Because Rule 34, that's why.
Is that Rule 34?
Guess what makes him say sha-la-la-la-la-la. And on Twitter, AAMAM180, which stands for Angry, Angry Middle-Aged Man, says, another week, another Broncos team shitting the bed. Long may it continue, although it's not that enjoyable that the Dragons won. No, it's not. And moving over to Instagram for the first time, we had some game comments from Insta. Man, these Insta hoes love their footy. Midi_Ned said, Dufty is carving up. I reckon he will certainly be missed by the Mars bar inserting cunt bags. And Winston said, calling my Dragons frittatas is offensive to frittatas. And Hammers, who's only on Instagram to look at pictures of barbecues, I'm sure, said, I hate the Dragons for making me want Brisbane to win. Fuck that cunt club and everyone associated with it. no exceptions, fuck them all.
Wow.
How good.
All right, so moving on to the main event of the evening. The West Tigers, 26, defeat the Penrith Panthers, 6, at Leichhardt Oval. Tigers, 26, came through tries to Dane Laurie, Jacob Little, Luciano Lelua, and Stefano Itoikamanu. Dewey, 3 conversions and 2 penalty goals. Panthers, a try to Matt Burton, conversion to Stephen Crichton. Who wants first?
Go for it, Glennie.
Look, I feel an overwhelming sense of illegitimate joy.
I was wondering who the first person would be to fire that one off. I thought it was going to be me, but...
Look, all jokes aside, and not just this year and into the future, honestly, Jay, before we get to the bullshit, do you have concerns, especially once Burton is gone, do you have concerns over Penrith's depth? As they continue to be the side that everyone knows that they are, and then we get to Origin time, etc., and they're going to strike this sort of stuff. And Burton's not going to be there next year, theoretically.
What did fucking Burton do for me?
I'm not worried. Because if we can go a season losing 3 games...
Yeah. Yeah, fair
call. And that's because we have 7 players out. I have no fucking sadness.
Can live with it.
Like, yeah, exactly. That is the definition of first world rugby league problems. Yeah. Look, it concerns me as much as it's always concerned.
It can also impact with injuries and stuff too, not just Origin. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Origin time to me, it's something that, well, you know, suck it up. You want to play with the big boys.
Mm.
Learn how to deal with that. There are the fucking Roosters and the Storms and the Broncos before them who knew it was coming every fucking year. And so they either planned for it, they utilised it. You know, Bellamy's famous for it. How many times was an Origin-affected Storm side still exciting to watch because they were blooding their next big prospect? Or they were giving opportunity in first grade to a kid that had shown potential. Or it all of a sudden gave Brisbane the idea that Brody Croft was good.
No. It's the greatest hatchet job in history.
But that's where the professional clubs look at something and say, okay, this is the situation. Now, we may not win all of these Origin matches because we've got lots of players out. And they're our best players because, it's fucking rep football. But how can we use this to our advantage? And at the end of the season, if we finish 1 on the ladder and we've utilised Origin time effectively for our future, then I don't see how that can be considered a failing.
Yeah.
But I'm still concerned, as I ever was, with what a long-term injury could do to the depth.
Yeah.
Especially in the halves.
Yeah.
I mean, like... Without fucking Luai, I mean, they've done it. They've, you know, had periods there without Cleary, you know, with TikTok suspension and stuff, or without, you know, and like they can get through with one of them plus Burton or something, or one of them plus like, you know, May or something. But holy shit, without both of them,
yeah,
they had all the depth of a fucking fetus's vagina. I mean, there was.
I think by depth he's saying like depth in position, not depth in actual play.
Yeah,
that's the depth I'm concerned with.
Yeah, and like, the absolute directionalness of like it actually looked like they were running the plays that Trent fucking made for them last year. there was no danger at any stage to a side that's not the greatest defensive side in the competition, and they were, apart from that one, like,
Tyrone May.
Ball hit the ground and, you know, Burton picked it up and, you know, play went past him and he went through and scored the try. That was literally the only danger they were in the entire fucking game.
Tyrone May is ahead of his time. You wait, because the next rule Peter Volandis is going to tag is that if you kick the ball into the thighs of the defensive line in front of you, you automatically get it back. So...
Jacob.
That's why he did that 87 times.
Jacob Little doing his best Damien Cook impression. How good. No one could stop him.
Yeah, but looking over the game, it really did give me another paradigm to view our sport through. in that there are some points here that are unique to rugby league in terms of why your halves are so fucking crucial. Like, you look at any other major sport and players are free to run and use their own speed and athleticism to advantage the team. You know, you look at NBA, players can be up ahead of the ball. In soccer, they can as well.
Yep.
In gridiron, they've got to start at a set place, but then you fucking runny tights boys and fucking skippy spin merchants, whoever these cunts are on the side.
Wide receivers.
They can fucking...
tight ends, I believe.
Run ahead.
Jackson just passed out in the other room. Spinny tight guy. Well, I mean,
that's classic spinny tight guy behavior.
Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's learned his game well, I see.
Yes.
Well, I really thought you were exactly into American sports, but clearly basketball. It begins and ends there.
Just basketball.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, okay, what are these guys wearing?
Oh,
fucking I've got to tell you, nut huggers and sunglasses. Great. I mean,
never cease to amaze me because of all the fucking shit that I thought you would come up with in this game recap, that wouldn't have been anywhere on the list.
But
you got to finish your point now, though. You finish it off.
But you take out Cleary and Luai, and the entire team slows down to a Bulldogs or a Sharks.
Mm.
The attacking speed and danger that they presented was equal to a fucking bottom eight side. And I think it was just because both of them were being careful. They've been there before and that's not their natural style of play. But I think they were focusing on trying to have as mistake-free football as they could. But it was just fascinating to watch just what the difference in the halves did to the speed of the entire team. Mm.
I think...
And as the game went by, as the game went on as well, like just the fucking toll on like the confidence of everyone else.
Yeah.
At being able to do anything. And then, like, you know, I always thought that Kenny was kind of in a full strength side, except with the nine out. Although, you know, Kenny seems to work okay. But in a side with, you know, the halves out as well, I mean, he was just serving up breakfast.
Yeah. Have you seen Glenn that?
Oh, I have seen that before.
You've seen it, yeah.
It's quite you know who showed it to me? My teenage son. And you know who goes around the house saying it? My seven-year-old.
Leo? Yeah.
Is Jackson on TikTok?
Yes.
Oh, sensational. What a father you are. Have you gone and checked his stream occasionally?
Oh, look, I don't check TikTok too regularly. I keep an eye on his...
Okay, don't worry. It's okay. You're still a person.
There's nothing wrong with you.
No, there's plenty wrong with me. But for the Tigers, I thought Brooksy was good. Dane Laurie, again, a standout. Brooksy cops a lot of flack, and a lot of it is... certainly this season, he's had some games where it's very well deserved. But his response just in the last handful of games, especially when you contrast it with someone like Milford, who's been much maligned as well, has been dropped, and has come back and played like an absolute pile of dog shit. It's all you can ask for from the bloke to come out and have a go. And his cover defence to stop an attacking, you know, Burton burst through, had the second biggest myth on the field, Dylan Edwards. Brooksy covered him easily. The biggest myth on the field, obviously, being Fiji and Ben Cray. And as I said, Dane Laurie, again, a standout. I think, and you've explained the reasons and where both players were at the time that they decided to let Dane Laurie go, but in a season or two's time, the player that kid is going to be is, like, it's fucking... Tigers are going to have work on their hands to fucking keep him, but I reckon Penrith will be...
He's going to be so good, he's going to go to East.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned with, I've got to be honest with you. Or back to Penrith. Thoughts on the penalty try call?
Yeah, you touch him in the head. You touch him in the head in the, yeah. Foul someone in the act of grounding the ball. It's a fucking penalty. It's black and white, yeah, man.
That's exactly what
it's,
I thought.
It's not even. It's not even. It's not about like the hardness of the contact or if he was spilling the ball, you know, and all that sort of thing. If you foul a guy in the act of
scoring
the try, it's and holy fucking the rules.
Fuck me, there was some people that didn't see it that way.
Oh my god! The handbags here's were flying on Twitter.com.
even if prior to the current crackdown for contact to the head, that may not have been given a penalty try. It doesn't matter. This crackdown is
here
for,
as you said last week.
Well,
it's
for legal. You know, it's for the safety of the players as a secondary effect, but it is for legal reasons first and foremost.
Mm.
It is to absolve the league of any responsibility for any harm that's coming in the future. So what the fuck do you think? They're going to say, okay, we don't want you to get CTE unless you're scoring a try. If you're scoring a try,
exactly,
then people should be able to CTE you. What I want you to do is, before you score the try, record some nice video of yourself to give to your family, because you're going to turn into a fucking monster and maybe murder some of them. So you
but at least I'll have that fucking glorious try you scored.
That's it. That's it.
After being
Look, it's been a penalty try for 20 fucking years, and you know, before you know, so you know, it's just the way it is, man.
Yeah. And I would go so far as to say that the West Tigers would have handled the situation Penrith were in better than Penrith did, because I would suggest if you had to get 7 current West Tigers players and replace them with reserve graders,
no one would know the difference. You're right.
You would not see a lick of difference in the team.
I find that hard to argue with.
Socials on that one. In the Facebook group, Greg said, well, fuck me, what a week to be a Panthers fan and a Greg. Dylan said, man, losing sucks. Is this what the Bulldogs fans feel every week? God damn. Jason said, Tigers proving their NRL standard by beating a top-ranked New South Wales Cup team. At Tall Hayden 1 on Twitter said, Panthers yet again crumbling in the big games. 2020 grand final, 2021 Friday night at Leichhardt. King Levius said, they should just make 3 rep rounds. These games with teams missing players are shit. Getting 2 points because you beat a team missing all their players. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, and I've just gone to great pains to suggest that that's the way it's always been and teams have always dealt with it. So what do you do? He did then go on further in that thread, and I want to get your ideas on it, to have 3 rounds, because the obvious argument there is, well, you lose too much football and then that's too much money and sponsorship and advertising and all that. We had 5 games this week, right? You could do Origin, some of the other internationals.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the women's. You could do an under 18s or a Reggie's Origin. And one that I would fucking still watch the shit out of. I would pay to watch this. I would pay per view it. A Legends Origin match. That one they did that year, where they fucking pulled everyone back, and guys were blowing after 6 minutes. Like, they had unlimited subs.
Is that where they had the
fruit shop guy was?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that guy that had the fruit shop, the ball guy that scored the try.
And I remember, I took a photo, I don't remember who it was, but they went to the Queensland Sheds at halftime and 2 of the players are sharing a durry in the corner at halftime. It was fucking phenomenal. So what do you think about a proper rep round, still with 5 games in it, wherever they come from?
I don't have an issue with it. I actually don't have a problem with them stopping the season for 3 weeks and just playing, or you know, 3 Wednesdays or doing it on the weekends, stopping it all together and making it up, as you say, with those games. But
yeah,
I don't have a problem with it.
I'm happy if everyone's happy. I mean, during like this sort of COVID sort of pandemic period, it's obviously harder to get proper internationals, you know, going, you know, like the, you know, Pacific Islands and things like that, unless you do like a modification where it's just like, yeah, strictly Australian-based PNG yes. players, Australia based, you know, some are, you know, like that. If you do it that way, then great, you're fine. Look, I'm happy. I'm happy to see those games because I love those games as well. But you know, I'm happy the way it is. The one thing I'm not happy with is that I want to see Origin at the end of the season again.
You don't? Nah. Did you say?
You're right.
100%. I don't. There's too many. And I don't know if it speaks to like Origin losing, like it's, you know, it's a lure somewhat. But at the end of a long season, when you put Origin there, it falls victim to the same kind of player thinking, and sometimes just player attrition that you see with the, you know, tests and World Cups and things like that.
Yeah, that's it.
It's very rare where you see a full strength Australian side at the end of the season. Because there's always a guy that's put off shoulder surgery until the end of the season and he needs to get back from round one next year. So yeah, he'll have the surgery after Mad Monday. Can't play the internationals. And then you had the situations where New South Wales had to play like Clinton fucking Gutherson in the fucking centres because, you know, like shit and shit like that won't stand. Ever, never again. Fucking, that was like the fucking 9/11 of rugby league.
At the biggest tiger, who's getting fucking nasty. Said kick out, getting bumped and rolled on the line. You hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it.
He was on fire.
He
was on fire.
That's about as nasty as he gets on the main.
Yes. our scooter loving mate Lambretta, GP 1971, said if the bye beat the Warriors by 16, the Tigers climb to ninth. Someone get on the phone to Volandis. There's a fucking rule that needs changing. And Scootin' _ Wheels on Insta said, watching this game was like watching my favourite child eat sand. Gritty at first, followed by a trip to the ER. On to the next one.
Right, okay. The Melbourne Storm 20 defeat the Gold Coast Titans 14 up Sunshine Coast Stadium. The Storm's 20 came through tries to Remus Smith, Brandon Smith, Trent Loiero, and George Jennings. Nico Hines, 2-4 conversions. The Gold Coast Titans 14 tries to Marzu, Brian Kelly, and Jared Wallace, Fogarty with 1 conversion from 3 attempts. This game was actually it wasn't a great game. It was an entertaining game, largely aided and abetted by the Storm, giving the Titans every fucking opportunity to come back to tie the game in the last 20 minutes, you know, be it, you know, having players off the field and just
right up until the last play. Mistakes. They still could have won it.
Right up until the last play.
I thought Jaden Campbell's obviously son of Preston. Thought his debut game was quite impressive. He's obviously a talented kid. He had some really nice touches. Just run it.
I just liked seeing the fact that he just looked like the kid that was just fucking like super pumped.
And even some of the interviews and you know, some footage. And stuff of him. It's exactly that. Like just that youthful exuberance just to be there and be a part of it. And he certainly didn't let anyone down. I thought he...
That was great when he put that spear on Nico Hines when it was like the last line of defence and just fucking hit him with the fucking Goldberg spear.
It's like I said before, it's one thing I do love about this Origin period is these kids get an opportunity.
Yeah.
And how often do you see, just based on some youthful energy and exuberance, a team or some guys outside them go up a gear because, fuck yeah, okay, you can run fast. Oh, how good's this?
Thanks for showing me the way, kid.
That's it. It was inside me all along.
Is that a movie reference? I don't get it.
And look, can I just say that all three of us easily remember the name Jaden Campbell, and so it makes me wonder if there's even a place for fucking AJ Bramson or whatever his fucking name is.
Stick him on the wing. Stick him on the wing.
Do they even want him back?
Yeah.
No, I suppose he can go be nobody out there.
Yeah. Or if you're just struggling to occupy him,
it's the Jaden Campbell era now.
Like you could essentially just get a reporter to ask him one question and he would just continually answer it for about a season and a half if no one tells him to cut. So, fuck me. That cunt is a less marketable DCE.
I thought Cheese, it's again, just proves time and time again, he's just a footy player, but he's either cementing his place in this side for Melbourne somewhere in the side well into the future, or he's boosting his asking price should he move on. But there was a couple of plays that he pulled out that probably proved the difference and put the game in the Storm's favour. And Nicho Hynes,
like, he's a smart football player. Like, he's fucking smart. Like, this, at sniffing out opportunities from dummy half. He's like, he fucking takes the I mean, he's got some dumb shit in his game, but I mean, and he's not the flashiest hooker, and he's not like a fast guy. But fucking just for football brain, and toughness, and like, and for pulling off like that sort of that right play at the right time as well, just as a drag.
Also thought Nicho Hynes, after a bit of publicity in the lead up to the game, that he's signed with Cronulla and certainly showed no sign of distraction. It was a really professional performance and a couple of really class touches from him as well. And in the end, the Titans, they could have won it on the fucking siren if that ball goes to hand. The siren had gone,
Yeah, but if.
No, but I'm saying there were opportunities before on the siren.
And some of those opportunities, remember as well, though, were thwarted by like just that extra level of professionalism and desperation from the Storm, as well. You know, but
there were some blatant fuckings of opportunities that were so blatant, even the De Bellin jury would look at them and go, "Yeah, that was fucked."
12-0
Like, yeah. Melbourne does Melbourne things.
Yep.
Super Grover said it's definitely the year of the debutantes eating meat pies. It certainly is. Is that recency bias that I'm remembering that as just debutantes always score?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. It's probably not as pronounced as you think it is.
Or maybe it's just because Charlie Staines got like 9.
He's also since been proven to be the slowest winger in the comp.
Didn't he go from the fucking was he the Forbes the Forbes Ferrari? Like now he's like the fucking
he's the Forbes Ferrari. Lada Neva.
After not being able to run down fucking Jacob Little.
No, they didn't change where he came from. They changed the type of car. Him being a Ford Ferrari doesn't make sense.
So. Yeah, well, it's basically like the Audi version of a Ferrari is what I'm trying to say.
We have a Ferrari. We have a Ferrari at home. The Ferrari at home.
I tell you though, it'll be like him versus Nothing. What a fucking vacuum that fucking rugby league that turned out to be.
Nortz said, I blame Anastasia Palaszczuk and Queensland Health for allowing the Storms into the state. Yes, I would too, Nortz.
You could have put your hand up to stop him.
At SJG...
I said he could have put his hand up to stop them. Every
fucking
time.
It's Groundhog Day for you, isn't it? Jesus Christ. At SJGARUFI. It says, Melbourne know how to win without Origin stars. Something Penrith should learn. Yes, it is. Damon underscore Sisu underscore... CrossFit W.AS. Fuck me, Instagram's a pain in the balls.
What is that?
Look, I think it's an Instagram name when you really, really want people to know you do CrossFit. Like, just in case you're in a room that's nothing but you, vegans, anti-vaxxers, and all those other sort of cult groups, and you just really want someone to know you do CrossFit, you can say, find me on Insta at this. Said, Kelly and Sammy should be gone, and I'm a Storm supporter. Oof, ouch.
That Kelly fucking bomb, that was the game right there.
Yeah.
Where they had that situation where it was 2-on-1, and Sammy's just fucking doing star jumps out there on the left, just saying, just give me the ball. And Kelly's feed like, no, I'll go myself.
Straight from the Will Chambers playbook.
Fucking hell.
And Jordan says, news is Peachy is looking for a contract with the Brisbane Roar in the A-League. Yeah. Fuck me, what a dive merchant.
He has mastered it more than a lot in his new era.
Yeah. Look, it's something culturally that I've got a problem with in rugby league. It's the thing of, well, playing by the rules also means lying to use the rules. Like your mate Laurie, he received first aid by whistle.
I know, about a dozen times, but I take your point.
You know, where he's like he's down clutching at his face. The whistle goes. All of a sudden, he's right.
Yeah,
it was a green whistle that the ref was blowing.
Jeez, careful. After your socioeconomic comments last week, it was a slippery slope. Look, I'd like to see that if they're really going to take this seriously, that if something happens where an HIA, where a penalty is given, it's an automatic HIA.
Yeah.
You know, that cuts the diving out real fucking quick.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's me. On to the next one.
Okay, final game of the round. The Eels 40 defeated Newcastle Knights 4 in Newcastle. The Eels 40 came through a double to Mike Osivo. Tries to Madison, Dunster, Gutherson, Cartwright, Opacek and Wunga Blake. Two conversions to Mitchell Moses, two to Gutherson, and the Eels had a solitary try to Tuala.
Para... They obviously weren't troubled in this game. I thought the Knights... They used to be unbeatable on Old Boys Day. There was a...
Yeah, it used to be a thing, didn't it?
And they fucking didn't even turn up for this one. You know, it just wilted way too easily. But from Paris' perspective, their edge runners, I don't know that they utilise them quite to the optimum efficiency, but... With Lane, Madison, Cartwright, and Papali'i, the power, footwork, and they've all got an offload in them. That's if they get that humming and get that really firing on all cylinders, that is fucking formidable. I think that's the real strength.
If they're allowed to do
And then obviously on the left, you've got Sivo. The recipient of, you know, the benefits of the offload in the second phase play for Para, but they when Para's left to run freely and teams don't really meet them and provide any real resistance, they're fucking they can put points on in quick succession. But I think the Knights would probably, you know, there's got to be some questions being asked of O'Brien. This isn't the first one of these performances they've put together this year. I know they've had some serious injuries, and that'll probably buy him some time. But you know, you got to look at the body language. You got to look at the effort of the group that's running out there, and you just they're not playing for him. That would be my observation. So I think he'll. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be the first coach sacked, but there's certainly the guys that are out there, and we talk about systems and things like that, that the 17 that he's trotting out, they're not playing for him at the moment.
True. You got to remember, though, they're going without both of their first-choice halves through injury. And again, you look at what that did to the greatest team in the history of rugby league. On the weekend, they let the fucking Tigers beat them. If you're already a fucking shitful mess of a club, trotting out an absolutely fucking pathetic example of rugby league every week, and then you lose your halves, like Jesus Christ, what the fuck are you going to produce? What do you
expect? If they were going to turn up, it would have been, you know, Old Boys Day. It wouldn't matter who you put on the Knights jersey back in the day. They would fucking fire up, but there was none of that.
Yeah. Look, I am firmly in my opinion still that Parramatta are a bunch of just above average professional rugby league players playing the game in a just above average way. And when they all combine to do that, that beats below average squads. And they look impressive doing it.
So where do they finish? Top four?
So you've got, and I think that depends more on the fortunes of others. Like you've got Penrith and Melbourne, who should be one and two between them, barring injuries. And probably that's more barring injuries to Penrith than it is to Melbourne, as they're a better system team at the moment, next man up. You know, Manly are making a run. Yeah. But again, barring injuries.
Yeah, Rabbitohs.
I still think...
Barring injuries. Yeah. Roosters destroyed by injuries, yet still pushing at a similar level.
Yeah. I still think
that's it.
Souths and Manly and the Roosters with a couple of players back are all better sides than Para. Yet Para's still sitting in third.
Yeah.
Para did have a very... they had a good start to the season. They had a couple of games where they did, you know, play exceedingly good football in challenging situations. The rainy game against Melbourne was one of them this year.
Yeah.
You know, so you take that rainy win against Melbourne out of the equation and they're equal with the Roosters. Mm. You know, which puts them in fifth or sixth.
Yeah. I still think Para up against adversity when the chips are down, I don't know if Mitch Moses is the guy to get you out of it.
No. I kind of agree. My thoughts on Parramatta are well documented.
Cool fucking wrecked.
Hit some socials.
Andrew, the Facebook group, said Sivo has only one weakness, redheads named Brad. And Danny said, Sivo is destroying our wings like I destroy buffets, and not in a good way. Troy said, I looked at the Knights in the sheds at halftime. Fuck me, I've never seen so many deers in headlights. This is going to be a bloodbath. Jesus Christ. Ryan said, the main thing I took out of this game was that either both teams had adjusted to the new crackdown on head knocks, or they're easing up on the penalties leading into Origin. I don't think Origin's going to get a pass on head penalties.
No, I agree.
Daniel says, it's the first game I've been able to take my boy to for over a year, and they serve up that plate full of lukewarm chicken fetuses. I know we've got players out, but that doesn't excuse that bullshit. We seriously need decent wingers. We're leaking tries out there like Adriana Čekić after a double shift.
Oh, the people who laugh, yeah.
I don't get. There's another reference I don't get. I've got some Googling to do when we stop.
Stop it.
Google that on. You know, grab Jackson's phone and Google that. Leave him something in the history.
Yeah, she's a professional tennis player. He'll enjoy it.
I thought she's a potential professional baseball player.
Oh. No, she's swinging rackets. Plays doubles.
Yeah. So,
well, you know,
on that note.
She's still in the college system because she celebrates like the college teams do. At the end of every performance, someone pours a bucket of something full of electrolytes over her.
Yeah, I thought she was like those things, those bat weights that they put on their, you know, when they're warming up at baseball, when they're just before they get in the, where they put those weights on and take a few test swings. I thought like she's like something that, you know, that they put baseball bats in, essentially.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, I'm frantically taking notes.
Anyway, you don't need to Google that anymore. Yeah. On that note, that is full time for episode 405. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. To grab links to our Patreon, our social media communities, and much more, head to thisweekinleague.com/links. Fuck me. I just had a fucking stroke. If you'd like to support the show, make sure you drop us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. Once again, we've seen tons of people just fucking flooding into the group lately just because people are, you know, bringing their mates in, and it's a good time had by all. Did we crack 1,000 yet? We must be getting close to 1,000 in that Facebook group.
That's it. Yeah,
which is crazy. Did. Yeah, yep. we did get through 1,000. Yeah, I made myself a mental note to keep tabs on it because it was like 975 or something, and then I just fucking, you know, that was like days ago and I forgot. Surely it's been reached and breached. Before we close the show, I'd like to give a shout out to some of our wonderful patrons, Ashley, Mitch, and old Action Bailey. Fat Harry Lazy himself. Thank you, folks. Really appreciate the ongoing support. And tipping. We've got Doohig on top, tied with JimRob82, which I think might be a rename of our mate that was leading earlier in the season. And we go back to Warmest, Lachlan H, Sunback, played against Sammy Beager, 1978. Ned underscore Kelly. So it'll have to be Mitch there. Reps are 85 and Benny Tippy. And that's tightened up, actually, that top 10. That's 1 point between all of them. This round of tipping doesn't actually finish until Wednesday, I think, though, because we've got the Origin game. I think it counts on the weekly as well. Lot of people there. I can see. I'm just looking at the, you know, the ticks and the crosses where the tips were. A lot of people still in the top 10 still tipped the Panthers. Seven out of the top 10 tipped the Panthers for that game, despite the 7 or 8 out. So, you know, if the greatest minds in the tipping game can't figure it out, what chances are old Ivan got? That's it, boys. Anything else you want to add before we pull the pin?
That's it for me.
All right, then. So in that case, fucking go New South Wales. We'll be recording after the Origin game with a super fresh recap of that game plus preview for the week ahead. And we'll be doing that one on Wednesday night. And, yeah, go New South Wales. Time to resume the era. I mean, there was a little blip there with fucking Benny coming in to, you know, pinch coach for a year and, you know, many injuries. And, of course, you know, let's not forget the fucking absolute handbreakage of Clinton Gutherson. And with none of that happening this year, I expect a 3-0 series win to New South Wales, and I don't expect any of the games to have any Origin spirit whatsoever, because I'll just be flat out fucking ass whippings like that beautiful night in Perth a couple of series ago. It
was excellent.
Yeah. And on that note,
righty.
See ya.
Later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.